Good job. Amen. Amen. Let freedom ring. Hallelujah. Yes, tomorrow we celebrate MLK Day. Amen. And remember all those that fought for change, for justice. Amen. To truly become the American way. You know, as he was reading through that, you know, my mind's always going somewhere. Y'all know me. Most of y'all know me pretty good. You know, but I'm thinking, I said, boy, that sometimes that speech can fit the church. Come on now. Amen. See, but we need to see it fit everybody. Everybody, amen, that we can come together. Amen. So let's pray as we get ready to go into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now, God, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord. Lord, that you've allowed us to see this day. Because your word said, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We're glad to be here. We're glad to be able to call upon your name, Lord. We're glad to be in a nation, Lord, where we have the liberty and the freedom to do so, Lord, without fear. Lord, so we ask you right now, God, to help us to appreciate every moment that you give us, Lord. As we look around the world and see the things that's happening, Lord, in other countries, Lord, we thank you, God, for the peace that we can live in right now. Lord, we just give you glory and praise. We ask you to speak to our hearts on this morning. Lord, let us hear what you have to say to us, your church. Lord, that your spirit would move in this place. Hallelujah. And lift us to a higher level, God, as we look within ourselves, God, to see and to find your will and your ways being done. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll go ahead and release our children, amen, to their class. Hallelujah. As we prepare our hearts to receive the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Little people. Y'all glad to be here this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. We could be a whole lot of other places, amen, but we're right here. And there's no other place I would rather be than right here. Amen. I know I don't speak for everybody, but I speak for myself. Good to see you, Michelle. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, but as I'm thinking, there's so much work to be done for the kingdom of God, you know. So I just want to say greetings in the name of Jesus. We're glad to see my grandson and his beautiful wife. Amen. Down with us this morning from Beeham. Amen. I say Bellingham. I call it Beeham. Those who are around here know what I'm talking about. Amen. But we're glad. Amen. Glad to be in the kingdom of God. Glad to be alive. Is that right? Amen. You know, as I was writing my notes and working on my message, I got excited because I began to think, amen, it feels good. I was excited because I recognize and feel that I'm in God's favor. Amen. So I say, what? What you mean? How do you know, amen, that you're in God's favor? You know, well, I looked at it in one specific way, amen, and to let you know, amen, because I examined my heart, examined myself, amen, and I can truly say that there's not one person that I hold anything against, amen, amen. And that, you know, I believe our biggest issue in life, whether we recognize it or not, is people. Amen. I mean, you have a problem with your car, you can get another one. Amen. You get it fixed. You junk it. You do what you want. You have a problem with your home, amen, you can move. Amen. But when it comes to people, no matter where you go, unless you go out into Alaska and into the tundra and by yourself, you got to deal with people. Amen. And people can be a challenge, amen. So, you know, when you're able to examine your heart, amen, and think. Now, that does not to say that, you know, I like everything people do, you know, or have done, but I've chosen not to hold it in my heart. I've chosen to release it, amen, and leave the rest to God and do my part, amen, according to his will in that relationship, amen. And not make it about me, but make it about him. Why? Because I want to be right in his sight, amen. So that doesn't give you license to come messing with me now, because you know I'm not going to hold it against you. Amen. But I promise you, I won't hold it against you. I will pray for you. Amen. Lift you up before the Lord. You know, so I, as I look at, you know, the state of our nation and the state, amen, of people who we deal with all the time, amen, I see a lot of things, amen, from my seat as pastor, amen, and a brother in Christ, amen. But, you know, it's interesting, amen, because we got so much work to do. You know, as we really be honest with ourselves, I was thinking, amen, about the theme, you know, as I was talking on last week and sharing our direction for the year, time to do, amen. And there's a lot to be done. Just tell somebody there's a lot to be done. There's a lot to be done. I mean, it's time to do, amen. And being the kind of thinker that I am, amen, I think in order of processes, how to get something done, how to get from point A to point B. And it's hard to just start something in the middle of it, amen. For me, amen, just say if I was working on my car, going to do some work on my car, I can't just go and start. I can just start taking parts off, you know, and start taking stuff apart. But I have to think through the process, amen. And we don't have enough the right tools and the right supplies and parts that I need, amen. Do I have the time to do it, amen, and to finish it? Is the work area, you know, clear of clutter so I don't lose stuff being mixed up with everything? You know, so I think through the process. Will I have enough time to finish it, or will I have to stop in the middle of it? And if I got to stop in the middle of it, when am I going to have time to get back to it, amen, to finish the job? You know, that's just the way I think. Or if I'm going to go into the kitchen to cook something, amen, I like everything to be in order because I'm that guy that likes to clean as you go. So when I'm done cooking, I'm done cleaning. Right now, so I'm a person of order in my life, amen, and try to maintain order, although that can be challenging too when you got a lot going on. Amen. You know, but so as I think about time to do, amen, and sometimes we just want to start, jump in and do something, but we haven't done the work that need to be done before we do what we want to do. And then we end up with all this stuff that's undone, right? And we don't want to be in that place, amen. So I find that, amen, when there's things that are unfinished, amen, and stuff that's all around, and it hinders our ability to really make progress, real progress, with what we really want to accomplish or get finished. And so one thing at a time. Sometimes we try to eat the whole roll at one time. But how do you eat an elephant? A little bit, somebody said, I don't want to eat an elephant. I got you. Amen. But anything, it's one bite at a time. I don't care how big that T-bone steak might be. Amen. You can only eat it one bite at a time, no matter how good it might be. Amen. But if you keep working at it, you'll get it down, right? You know, so, but we want to be able, amen, to get things done and not leave a bunch of things undone. Clutter is a nuisance. Amen. How many of y'all like clutter? Let me see your hands. Nobody. Amen. So I'm in the right place. Amen. But clutter is a nuisance. Amen. And it's depressing. It crowds out space for the new and the fresh things. Amen. And after a while, amen, it feels like it's all closing in on you. At least that's how I feel, and smothering you. You know, just taking the life and this energy from you. And you got to do something, amen, to make room, amen. Remember the message that Pastor Linda brought, make room? We got to get, sometimes you got to get stuff out the way and make room for something new. Make room for something fresh. Make room, amen, for that new couch or, you know, that new bedroom set. Amen. You got to make room. You just can't push everything to one side of the room and try to squeeze the rest in. Then you got more clutter. Right, so you gotta do the work, amen. And just as it is in the natural, it's the same true spiritually. And that's where we want to go, amen. Because when I think about, you know, clutter and all the old stuff that needs to be moved so the new to come in, our hearts can become junkyards filled with the relics of the past. Crowding out room for new relationships, for new adventures, for new ways of thinking, amen. You know, filled with all those things, amen, from the past hurts, past relationships, past mistakes, past failures, past hopes and dreams, amen, that never came to pass. Past words spoken and deeds undone and unfulfilled, amen. Our hearts were full of all this stuff, amen. Things that we can't change, past unforgiveness that we still hold on to that's weighing us down. Even somebody else's past that's got you stuck. We can get stuck. Stuck in limbo. Can't move in either direction because our hearts are full of stuff. Full of what I call ook. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Help us, Lord. The past doesn't allow us to move forward, amen, and into our waiting future. You know, there's things that's just waiting for you. You know, for me, if I'm still holding on to stuff, I can't move into that because I haven't let go of this. Amen. So we got to look at that. And I'm still talking about, you know, time to do. And sometimes the first thing we got to do is make room. If we want to move forward. Make room if we want to grow. Make room, amen, if we want to be free at last from our past. We got to make room, amen. We got to decide, amen. I'm tired of my heart being full of junk. Remember this, though. The past is just that. It's past. You know, you've moved beyond it physically, in space and time, amen. But you're still stuck there in your mind. Still stuck there in your heart. Still stuck there in your spirit. How do we get past all these things? How do we get to the place that we need to be? Amen. Instead of holding on to these things that connect us to the past. Amen. That past era in our lives as though they're a time capsule. Like we really need to be reminded of that thing. You know how they bury time capsules and after 20, 30, 40 years, they go dig it up and remind them, oh, them old 8-track tapes and whatever else they put in the box, you know. But sometimes we got them time capsules that are sitting in our heart. Amen. And we're just waiting for anything to come along to crack that time capsule open, and there it is again. We relive it. We relive that time and that period in our heart. Amen. In our lives, amen. And bring it like it was fresh and new with all the emotion and all the feeling and all the stuff that came with it. Sometimes there's joyous memories, and those are good. I'm not saying get rid of the good stuff. But there's some stuff that holds us back and holds us down, amen. And we can't do what we need to do because we're still in that place. In order to move forward, we got to let it go. Let it go. I remember Pastor Lynn talked about let it go, don't let them go. Amen. But let it go. So you know, someone say that with me. Let it go.
Let it go.
Now you know what it is in your life, amen. And I know what it may be in my life, amen. But we gotta let it go. Amen. I'm not talking about frozen. We don't wanna be frozen where we in the past, amen. But you know, we gotta flush it out of our lives. We gotta cut it off, amen, from stealing any more of our time. Amen. Time that we cannot get back. Time is one resource, amen, that once it's spent, it's gone, it's done. Amen. And we can't make more. Amen. And sometimes you look back in your life and say, I wish I had more time to do this. Or I wish I had done this sooner so I'd had more time to get ahead. Amen. But you got to capitalize on the now. Take action now. And the action sometimes is getting something out so you can get something else in. Amen. So it's really, you know, this is really one of the steps of going forward, amen, in the time to do and the time to make room, amen, so that we can move forward. We must purge out some things out. Get rid of them, amen. You know, not just out of our lives or out of our homes, but out of our hearts. And that's what we want to talk this morning about, the purge. Now, I know some of y'all, first thing you think when you see the purge, y'all think about the movies. I mean, what was it, three of them so far? Three or four? Amen, the purge. But see, I'm not talking about that kind of purge. You see, that kind of purge, amen, is not what we need in the church. Amen. We need to purge that out of the church. Amen. Because that kind of purge would, you know, it gave people license, amen, for a period of time to go and deal with their problems in a negative way. It gave them the license, amen, to go and purge and act out their issues on other people, amen, without fear of reprisal, amen, because they were within that 24-hour time frame. But I think the last one was called the forever purge. They just want to keep it going. Amen. So there was, what it did was it introduced a time of lawlessness, amen, to where you could do whatever you want and didn't have to worry about any penalty, amen, whether it was good or bad. You just did it. If you didn't like somebody, you could just go. That's not the purge I'm talking about. Amen. So let's make that perfectly clear. But what we're talking about, amen, is purging your own heart, your mind, your soul, amen, in exchange for God, his righteousness, amen, in exchange for his forgiveness, in exchange, amen, for his blessings in our lives. Amen. That's what we're talking about this morning. So let me help us to differentiate between the two. We can talk about getting rid of somebody else. We're talking about getting rid of the enemy in me. Amen. The thing that holds me back, the thing that holds me down, amen, so that we can do what we need to do, amen, and no longer be a prisoner of our past, a prisoner of those things that want to hold us down, amen. Let me remind you what the scripture says about our hearts in case some of you may haven't heard it or may have forgotten. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says this. You know, about our hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart. I'm talking about our hearts. Amen. Deceitfully. It says like this in the Amplified Bible. The heart is deceitful above all things and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Your heart is sick. My heart is sick if we don't get it cleaned out. If we don't purge it, amen. And it goes on to say, amen, it says it's sick. Who can know it, perceive, understand, be acquainted with his own heart and mind? Amen. Why? Because our heart's deceitful. I talk to people all the time, and over the years I've heard so many people say, I'm good. I'm good. Ain't nothing in my heart. And you can say, I wonder. And then when time passes within the heart is revealed. You know, most of the time, most people, amen, when the pressure is put on us, I mean, when we really squeezed, the real you shows up. I mean, I'm not talking about the pretend Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How you doing? I'm not talking about that you. I'm talking about the real you. Amen. And if that's really you, that's what's going to show up. But if that's not really you, amen, the real you is going to show up with all kind of exploratives, you know, and all kinds of actions and attitudes, and, you know, all these things that don't align with, praise the Lord. Right? You know, so we don't want that. We want to purge our hearts. Amen. Because the scripture talks about our hearts in so many clear ways. Let's look what it says about our hearts. Amen. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 18 and 19, it says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and the like. If I could add, because there's so many more scriptures I could show you about that. Amen. But all that's what's coming out of the heart. Murders, blasphemies, stealing, lies. That's what a false witness is. Lies, fornications. I don't have to hang out there too long. Somebody said, keep it moving. Adulteries, keep it moving, right? But we know these are the things that collect in our hearts, amen. And if we're not careful, amen, those are the things that manifest, amen, when nobody looking. And then we say this when we called out on it. Who said that? God knows my heart. Is that what we say? God knows. And I have to agree with you. Yes, he does. He knows how evil it is and how corrupt it is. He told us in his word about our hearts. Amen. Even so, in Genesis 5:6, it says this, and God saw the wickedness that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He see, way back in Genesis, the 6th chapter, not barely into the word, he said, man's hearts are continually wicked. So much so, amen, in the 6th verse, he said, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. In other words, our hearts can be so bad, it hurts the heart of God. And if we don't work on purging our hearts and getting our hearts pure before him, amen, as much as we can, and we can't, first of all, we can't do it by ourselves. I'm gonna help us there too. We can't do it by ourselves. We need God's help, amen, to help us to purge that thing. We can cover it up. You know, you can go and make a mud cake. Let it dry up, you know. And then you can go and you can get some Pillsbury icing and put on that cake. And get candles and decorate it real nice. And it looked good. Beautiful cake. Right? On the outside. But it ain't nothing but dirt on the inside. And if we're not careful, that's how our hearts can look. And who can eat that kind of cake? You might lick the ice in the ice. Ooh, boy, praise God we had a good service. Oh, boy, didn't she sing that song? Oh, didn't he preach that word? But don't cut too deep. Because if you cut too deep, you're going to hit some hard stuff that's unpalatable. And that's how our hearts can become, amen, if we don't watch it, amen. So it's what's in us, amen, that is going to show up, amen. And the Bible tells us everything that's done in the dark, it's going to be hid forever. No, don't say that. It said whatever's done in the dark will be brought to the light. Amen. And so I have to constantly look at myself, amen. And we need to constantly examine ourselves, amen. And when we find ourselves array or is brought to our attention, amen, by his word or by our loved ones, amen, or, you know, by our loving brothers and sisters in Christ, or maybe someone that ain't even in church helps us to recognize that we're off. They ain't got to be saved to tell you're wrong. Right? Sometimes we can't hear it from somebody, but truth is truth. Before you throw it out, examine it. Amen. Say, okay, what's going on? Amen. Because what's in us is going to show up. Amen. Look what it says in Luke 6:43-45. Say, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. What are you producing? What am I producing? Amen. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Amen. See, I think about them. You ever try to get something off of a thorn bush or get some of them, you know, and then blackberries? And you got to be careful, right? Because you can get jacked up. You trying to get something and you getting stuck. Amen. That's kind of dealing with some kind of people. You're trying to get somewhere and you're getting jacked up. Amen. But I like the blackberries that Brother Phil grows. Amen. He got a strain out there in his garden. Amen. What they call? Triple crowns of all things. Triple crowns. One for the Father. One for the God. Triple crown, but the beautiful thing about that, they're bigger than the other berries, they're juicier than the other berries, and the bush don't got no thorns. so you could just enjoy yourself without fear. That's how we should be. Our love, our life should be bigger and juicier and without fear of getting stuck. We need to be like the Triple Crown. Say amen. We should be. We got the Holy Spirit, ain't that right? You know, but I look at this, amen. It says, 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart. Notice he's not just talking about his way, his heart. Amen. Bringing forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The abundance, whatever the most in there, it's going to come out. Amen. And I understand there's a growth process. Amen. Just like, you know, if I had a glass of muddy water up here, amen, and I wanted to clean it out by pouring fresh water in, it's going to take a minute. Because you got to what? Purge the old dirty stuff out. Amen. If you do it long enough, you're going to have a clear glass of water that's worth drinking. Amen. But we can't just do a drop every now and then. You know, it's going to take a long time to purge that heart, amen. If we just put a drop of righteousness, a drop of truth, amen, every now and then, we gotta be consistent about purging. That means being consistent, amen, in your word, being consistent in prayer, being consistent in meditation, being consistent in making it to the house of God, amen, so we can get instruction and encourage, so we can go out there and be consistent in our living.
That's right.
It's got to be consistently flowing and flushing out, purging out that old stuff. Amen. Because if we don't, whatever's in abundance is going to show up. Amen. And I don't know about y'all. I don't cotton to drinking dirty water. Amen. I don't. No. That's not me. Amen. Let's take a look at David's story. Amen. In Psalms 15. You know, maybe for those who don't know the story, David was approached by the prophet, amen, and he came and he told him, amen, Nathan told him, because the Lord sent him to David to bring David's attention to the fact that his sin had been found out.
Yeah.
Amen. David had taken Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, while Uriah was at the battle, amen, he had taken her for his own, amen, and got with her. And then when she was pregnant, he sent for Uriah to come back, trying to cover it up. I talked about this last week, amen, but he tried to cover it up, amen, by getting Uriah to come home. Not if, you know, they didn't have paternity tests back then. You know, so if I can get him home and be with his wife, then maybe it'll be covered up, because they'll think it's his baby and not mine. You know, but Uriah was an honorable man. He wouldn't even go home. Because he was committed to his soldiers, amen. How can I have pleasure with my wife when my comrades are on the battlefield? So David set him up, amen, and sent him to the hottest part of the battle, knowing where he was, that he was going to get killed. And then took his wife for his own, amen. And when Nathan came and let David know that his sin was exposed, this was David's response, amen, in Psalms 51. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. In other words, David is entreating the Lord, help a brother. I don't want to stay in this condition. Amen. But he lets you know, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee alone have I sinned and done this great evil, this evil in thy sight. He says, that thou mayest be justified when thou speak and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts, talking about that heart. And in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The seventh verse, he says this, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Purge me with hyssop, amen. In other words, clean me up. Get this junk out of me. Help me out. Amen. I told you, we can't do it by ourselves. David is letting us know what we need to do. Go to the Lord. Now, hyssop, amen, it's a mint plant, amen, that they use for different things, amen. Amen. In the book of Exodus, in the 12th chapter, they used the hyssop to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost. When the Lord told them before the Passover, the night before the Passover, he said, take that hyssop and dip it in the blood and strike the lintel in the doorpost and the lintel, amen. Once they got their family inside and the Israelites were protected from the plague that came that night, took all the firstborn, but they were protected, amen. See, hyssop helped them to get protected by using that, amen. See, some of us need some hyssop. Amen. Some of us, amen. And even when they did that, when they took that blood and they struck the doorpost and then they struck the lintel, it dropped down and that formed a cross of blood at the door. The death angel could not enter in. Amen. See, but he comes in, amen, with his sin, with his unrighteousness. He comes in, amen, but we need to be covered. And then it was used again, amen, in Numbers, the 19th chapter, amen, where they were told to take that plant and to dip it. Aaron was told to dip it in the water of purification. If anybody was unclean from touching a dead body or a grave, he said, dip that and sprinkle them with the water so that they can become clean. Amen. Hyssop was important. So David said, purge me with hyssop. Because he understood the rituals. He understood, amen, the use of it, amen. So, and it often meant repentance, humility, hell, sacrifice. Use that to purge me. Eighth verse said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God. We need God's help. Yeah. And renew a right spirit within me. I love that verse. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God. But first of all, in order for it to happen, we got to be like David. We got to acknowledge our sin. We got to acknowledge, amen, that our hearts are not where we would like them to be, or where even where he would like them to be. Maybe you comfortable there, but he ain't comfortable with you there. Amen. So we got to ask ourselves, Lord, purge my heart. Cleanse my heart. Amen. And it's not just a one-time job. Because there's always something trying to creep into your heart and mine. And if we don't watch it, amen, if we're not careful, it'll get in and it'll make its abode. And before you know it, when we get squeezed, that thing going to show up. Right? It's going to show itself, amen. He said, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, he said, restore the joy. Sometimes you say, but you don't look like it. We got the Holy Spirit, but if to look on our faces and our actions sometimes, it ain't there. He said, no joy. Why there's no joy? Of all people, we should have joy. Of all people, amen, there shouldn't be nothing that gets us down, because we know none of this is going to last. Of all people, amen, we should be the most joyous people on the planet, because we got God in our hearts, amen, and we have a relationship with the Most High God, amen. So what is greater than that? What should be able to take that away? People should be asking you, why are you always so happy? Why you always got joy? I know your life ain't perfect. No, it ain't, but my God is. You know, see, we should have a joy that can't be stolen. If we just waiting to be happy, happy is fleeting. Happy, and I say this all the time, happy depends on what happens. Uh-huh. Amen. And if it don't happen like you want it to happen, you're not going to be happy. Amen. But the greatest of all things has already happened. Amen. He went to the cross. He paid for your sins and mine. Amen. And so that means everything else comes after that. Nothing else comes above that. Amen. I don't care, you know, all the things we get happy if someone give us a car. A new one. Our dream car. We get happy if they give us a new house. Amen. We get happy when we get a raise on our job. A good commission check. We get happy. Levante. We get happy, amen, when we get, you know, exactly what we wanted last month for Christmas. We get happy, right? Was anybody happy last month? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you was upset because you didn't get what you wanted. See, but it was dependent. What happened? What you wanted to happen didn't happen. But if you got happy, you was happy because you was pleased, amen. But he said, restore the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, now see, now I want us to catch this. He says, help me get my heart right. Help me be right with you. Purge my heart. Restore my joy. Amen. So I look like a saint that likes being a saint. I look like a child of God that's happy to be a child of God. And then he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. Because why? Now I'm free. I can go and be the light. I can go and let the, you know, be the salt in the situation in the darkness. I can make a difference because why? I'm not weighted down with all the stuff in my heart. I'm not weighted down with the sin of Bathsheba any longer. Because now I can witness to the goodness of the Lord. All he's done for me, where he's brought me from, and what he's able to do in their life. And always let them know, that don't mean everything's going to be perfect. But I got a perfect God. Amen. He said, then will I teach. Then, he said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Sometimes we can't even sing because of what's in our heart. Say, O Lord, open thy lips, and my mouth shall, what did he say? Shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. He said, don't bring stuff to me and your heart ain't right.
Amen.
I mean, I'm more concerned about your heart. Oh, goodness.
Thank you.
He said, you know, if the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart,
yes.
He said, make that your sacrifice. Give me your heart. Give me the right spirit. Make that the sacrifice. Say, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. In other words, build the Jerusalem. He's not talking about the city. He's talking about us. He's talking about the people. Build us back up. And then you'll be able to accept the offerings, amen, the burnt offerings, the whole burnt offerings, amen. Then shall they offer the bullocks upon the altar. But he said, don't come to the altar and you got an art with your brother or your sister. Leave your gift there and go get it right and then come back and offer you. He's concerned about our hearts. We need to purge the heart so we can do the work that he's given us to do. That's what he's telling us. Help us, Lord. You know, God is concerned because we represent him. Remember last year what we were doing? Aiming to what? To be kingdom representatives. Amen. In other words, to represent Christ. I mean, there was one time when the Israelites, amen, they were gone astray, amen, in bondage. And the Lord looked at how they were representing him, and he's concerned about his name. Amen. And see, when we profess to be a child of God, or I'm a pastor of the kingdom, and I'm acting crazy, that's profaning his name. That's desecrating the name of the Lord. Amen. And in Ezekiel 36, amen, he looked at the people and he said, you know what, I'm gonna bring you out for my namesake because you're making me look bad.
Uh-huh.
If I can bring it in today's language, amen. He says this because he let them know in the preceding verses how they had profaned him amongst the heathens. Amen. And they were supposed to be his chosen people. He said, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. For all your filthiness and from all your filthiness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Hard-heartedness. He said, I'm going to change that. Because you can't represent me with a hard heart. Hard heart towards your neighbor, hard heart towards your friend, hard heart towards your spouse, hard heart towards your children or your parents. He said, you can't represent me like that. He said, I want to give you a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh, amen. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. He got stuff he wants us to do.
Yeah.
But we can't do it with the wrong mind. We can't do it with a polluted spirit, a polluted heart, a polluted mind. Amen. So we gotta do that. We gotta purge ourselves. We gotta purge our mind. We gotta purge our heart of all the stuff that will stop us from loving in every single situation. I've studied this Bible for over 40 years, and I haven't found one place that he gives us a right not to do right.
Not one single place.
They just said, go, boy. You told him. No, not one place. Amen. He's constantly calling in the New Testament and the Old, calling us to his righteousness. His, not our own, because we ain't got none. The Bible says all of our righteousness is filthy rags. Amen. So what does that mean? We got to do it God's way, because if I do it my way, I'm the one getting the glory. But if I do it his way, amen, it's unto him. And how do we maintain a clean heart and a right spirit before the Lord? How do we do that? Look at Proverbs 4. Amen. Verse 20 to 23. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings, and let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep your eyes on God. Amen. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. In other words, he said, this is how you're able to keep my word in your heart. For they are life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we already read that, amen. What's coming out of the heart? Amen, he told you. This is what defiles us. He said, but if we keep our heart with all diligence, if we're diligent to keep his word in our heart, if we're diligent, amen, to continue, amen, to give ear to his word and his sayings, amen, if we make him the forefront of our all, amen, on a constant and a consistent basis, amen, then and only then can we have a pure heart. Because that's what's going to flush out all the negative, all that stuff, amen, that wants to come in and stop us, amen. He does not want us walking around, amen, with an angry heart, an unforgiving heart, a sad heart, a heart, amen, that's not for people, a heart, amen, that's grudging, and a heart that's greedy, amen, a heart that, he don't want us walking around with that kind of heart. He wants us walking around with a heart, amen. If we want to do his work and do his will, we got to be ready to represent him in a way that he gets the glory.
Amen.
We can't get no glory out of me being mad at somebody.
That's right. Thank you,
Jesus. Don't get no glory, amen. He said, the Bible said what? I know it's the thoughts out there. He said, well, they said be angry. All right? But he said, be angry, but sin not. Amen. And when he's talking about that, he said, yeah, we can have a righteous anger. Mad at what the devil trying to do.
Come on now.
Mad because the devil trying to bring separation between me and my brother, between me and my sister, between me and my spouse. He's trying to be, you know, sometimes we get mad at the person.
Yes.
Instead of realizing the warfare that God is trying to use that person, amen, to help us to drop our guard and to respond in the natural, to respond in the flesh. But, you know, he also tells us a bit, we need to be ready to suffer what? Oh, my goodness. Someone say, I don't like that scripture. Look at 1 Peter. I'm almost done. I'm going to leave y'all alone in a minute. Amen. Because I want us to understand, amen, 1 Peter 1, verse 22 and 23, Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Now it's just, he didn't just say with a pure heart, but he says fervently. That means with intent. With a passionate intent, fervently love one another with a pure heart. Don't come, amen, grinning in my face and stabbing me in my back. Don't come saying, oh, brother, I love you, but in your heart you say, I can't stand this joker. That's not a pure heart. No, he said, no. Don't put on a pretense. Work on your heart first. Let it be pure, amen, and then it'll work. Amen. Being born again, not of corrupt seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We need the living word operating in us, amen, because everything else wants to get in our heart, in our mind. We'll be divided, amen, in all these places, amen. Why? Because we don't guard our heart. Amen. And we choose what, you know, who to love and how. No. If Jesus loved me with my crazy self, who am I to choose who I'm going to love? I just got to open my heart and let the love of God flow through me. Amen. Even to those that don't like me. And I've run across a lot of people in my life that don't like me. Huh? I kind of think I'm a likable person. But let me not be the judge, right? You know, so I look at these things. How do we stay in right standing with God? We got to work on it. That's why I said it. We got work to do. And if you don't just do it once.
That's right.
And it's over. Because before you get out the parking lot, someone's going to make you mad.
Amen, please.
Someone gonna, if you're harding, right, if you're walking around with your heart on your shoulder, mm-hmm. on your sleeve, you're so easily offended, so easily provoked, uh-huh. you know, so thin-skinned that they can't walk by without shaking your hand.
Lord Jesus, come on.
Would you get mad? Just walk by me like I wasn't even standing there. Oh, come on. I've seen it in my day. Hello. So how do we get there? Another place we look at to help us get there. Look at Matthew. See, we look at the what did we call them? The Beatitudes. I like to say it like this. Let this be your attitude.
Huh?
This should be your attitude. He said, and I'm going to start, amen, with verse number 3. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God sees you, amen. He said, you inherit heaven when you don't come proud, but you come poor in spirit, humble, amen. Look what he said, for they shall inherit the earth, amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst. No, notice. We can hunger and thirst after a lot of things.
Amen.
You know, we can be motivated to go after all kinds of fame and finance and resources. And we can go after all. But do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? See, I'm trying to help us how we can keep our hearts pure, keep that purged heart, amen. He says, because if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, he said, for they shall be filled. Now notice, in Matthew 6:33, he says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So in other words, put me first and you can still get some stuff. Well, put me first. So he recognized you want stuff. You can't take stuff with you, but you want some stuff, right? He said, you shall be filled, your longing, amen. In verse number 7, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, we like to receive mercy. Lord, have mercy. Right? You know, you ask the bill, give me some mercy. Give me just another few more days. I get it. But when it comes time for us to give mercy, oh, we're not so quick to meet it out. Amen. See, but we should be. Amen. He said, if we give mercy, we'll obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I like that one. They shall see God. And I know we're here because we want to see God. Amen. But like, let me drop this little nugget on you. Everybody going to see God. But some of them that see him ain't going to want to see him. Huh? Because he ain't going to have a good word for them. You're going to depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He said, but they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. How many children of God we got in here? That means we should be peacemakers. Right? When everybody else is stirring up stuff, even with you, you should be the one trying to make peace. Because he said, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, my goodness. For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, I notice in this, every time something comes against this, God reciprocates. If you just do this, you're going to be blessed in this way. If you just do that, you're going to be blessed in this way. Sometimes we feel like we're losing out. But we're not. When we do it his way, we always gain. We do it his way, we come out ahead. We do it his way, we get a great reward that will not pass away. Amen. So when you suffer for righteousness' sake, the kingdom of God is yours. Right? You don't have to defend yourself. He got you. So many times we go down trying to defend ourselves. But you know what? God's the one that got your back. Amen? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Say, so you in good company. You're in good company, amen. Because why? We've made it to where God wants us to be. We've worked on our hearts. We've purged our hearts. Which allows him, amen, to continue to bless us. Amen, and continue to store up for us more and more and more for that great day. When he calls us home. Don't let anything or anybody in this life get between you and God.
Amen. Amen.
No matter who they are.
Hallelujah.
No matter what they've done.
Hallelujah.
You got to learn to trust him. He got your back. He's got you. He'll see you through all the way to the end if you just trust him. If you just stand on his word, amen, and be like David in Psalms 51. That's one of my, that is my number one favorite psalm, Psalm 51.
Yeah.
Amen, because it helped me. Amen, it really helped me, amen. And when we look at God wants us to be in that place, amen, of shining the light on ourselves. It's easy to shine the light on other people. And see where they're wrong. See what they ain't doing right. Look at how they're treating you. But when you shine your light on you.
Yes.
Let me rephrase that. When you shine his light on you. That's what matters. When that light's shining on you, how are you responding? How are you acting? Who are you trusting? You trust in yourself more than you trust in him. Yeah, Lord, I got this, God. No. Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to respond? They talking about me crazy on my job. Huh, Corey? How you want me to handle this? What would you have me to do? They mistreat me at the school. How do you want me to handle this? What would you have me to do? It's just not fair. How do you want me to handle this? What would you have me to do? And if we just trust him and let him lead us and guard our heart against all the stuff that wants to get in there, once you've done the purging, amen, stuff still want to get in. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long, how much you pray, how much you fast. Amen. You can live in the church and something's still going to try to creep in your heart. So we got to always be ready to do the work. Do the work that is required to guard our hearts and to keep our hearts pure before God. Don't try to impress me.
Mm-mm.
I'm not the one that's discerning the thoughts and the intents of your heart. That's what he does. And when you impress him, guess what? I'll be impressed already. And so will everybody else, whether they understand it or recognize it or not. If you just do it unto God, that's what matters in the end. Do it his way. Everybody say, purge my heart, oh God. Purge out everything that's not like you. Anything that was separate, I want him to get it out.
Amen.
Amen. Show me, Lord. Show me. Amen. So I can get it out. Amen. I don't need nothing in there polluting it. I don't want to be a mud cake.
That's right. Come on now.
Mm-mm, no. When y'all slicing the meat, I want you to get some chocolate.
Sweet, good chocolate.
Hallelujah. Y'all let me. Amen. I didn't say strawberry. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to pray. Amen. Don't want you, you know, what's in you is going to come out. And I pray that when you get squeezed, it's going to be hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. When you get squeezed, it's going to be praise the Lord. When you get squeezed hard, it's going to be help me, Jesus. Huh? Come on now. See, so because y'all know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You know, them times when you feel the pressure, you feel your temperature rising, you know, and your fingers are starting to clench and your palms are getting sweaty and you get that little twitch going on. You know when it's coming. So you got to be prepared. Lord, help me right now. Help me right now before, because I don't want them to see me. Right? I want them to see you. Even when they're doing me wrong, I want them to see you. So help me get rid of the clutter. Help me get rid of all that stuff, not just around me, but that's a good idea, a good thing. We need to have a stress-free life around us. You know, it's hard for me to relax when I know there's so much to be done.
Amen.
Huh? And what am I saying? It should be hard for you, amen, to really want to do more when you know there's so much to be done in your heart.
Yes, come on.
Clean my heart, oh God.
Clean my heart, oh God.
Create in me a right spirit.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
That he can get the glory out of our lives.
Yes.
See, the curious thing is, we don't need to be really told when we're wrong. Because we already know. Sometimes we just need to get a little help to get it right. And when that comes, we receive it. And we apply it to our living. Not to please man, but to please God. See, because I'll tell you this, I don't have no heaven or hell to put nobody in. I'm doing all I can to avoid the latter myself. It's him that we got to please. It's him that we live for. It's him that we want to get the glory out of our lives. Hallelujah. So if you're here this morning, amen, and you got some stuff that you want to get out your heart, you want to start the purging process, I invite you to come to the altar. Start the process of allowing him to cleanse you. I ain't going up there because I want people to think I'm all holy.
Oh,
God discerns the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And you know, if you know, if you know, you know, you know. Your heart ain't right before him. I invite you to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. That he might start to work in you as you voluntarily surrender to him. It's a daily process, y'all. But the more we do it, the less work it takes. Hallelujah. And you get to the place where you can see the enemy coming afar off, and you can already block him with the word, with prayer. Amen. So we thank you, Lord, for these two that have come, Lord. Say, purge my heart. Help me to start the process, even in this very hour, of purging my heart, cleansing my heart, God. Because I know it's there. I see it. I don't want to deceive myself. I don't want my heart to deceive me anymore. Because I can't discern my own heart. But you do, Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray over these that have come. Father, that you would just look on our brother, Lord Jesus. You know his heart, God, like nobody else does. And Lord, you see those things, God, that he's concerned about. And I ask you right now, God, to help with the release, with the purging, God, with the laying aside those things, hallelujah. Lord, that you can create in him a clean heart. Hallelujah. And restore, as David said, a right spirit, God. In the name of Jesus, let it be done according to your divine will, God, doing the work, God, hallelujah, and allowing you, God, to expose and to remove those things, God, as you change his responses, as you change, God, the ways of thinking, Father. We thank you right now. We cover you, hallelujah, by the word of God, hallelujah, and by his spirit, Lord, that he would have his way in your heart and mind and soul in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Lord, you see your daughter. And you know her heart, God. You know her desire for you, Lord. But yet the enemy wants to keep holding her back and holding her down, God. And we say, not so. Not so. Not so, for she is fearfully and wonderfully made, God. Lord, and you say, you know, the thoughts and the plans you have for us. Lord, we speak against those things of the enemy right now. Every lie, every scheme, every plot that's been leveled against her heart right now. We purge it, God, in your name. In your name, Jesus. Restore the joy, God. Restore her peace, God. Restore her strength to stand, hallelujah, to be the praiser, God, that you've called and made her to be, God. Restore those places that have been broken down by the lies of the enemy, Lord, that want to creep in our heart and take up abode, Lord. We cast them down right now in your name and say, she's yours, God. She belongs to you. Her life is to glorify you, God. So we thank you right now, Lord, for who you made her to be. And Lord, we call that forth, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that your will be done, God. And the enemy has got to loose his hold. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you because you're already doing it. You're already doing it. You're already doing it. And we thank you for it right now. You say you see her and you know her. Oh, God. Jesus. Meet her right where she is, God. Have your way in her. Let Lucretia know that you call her by name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He sees and he knows each and every one of us. He discerns the heart. He sees the hidden places. He sees the secret places. Amen. See, God ain't like a guest that comes into your house. You only let him into the living room. It looks great. When's the last time you took your guest to your laundry room? Amen. See, he sees it all. Whether you let him in or not, he sees it all. But he says in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. And if we just open the door, he'll come in and he'll abide with us. Amen. He comes in not as a critic. He comes in to help us clean up. He comes in to strengthen us and to build us up. But he's knocking. I believe right now he's knocking at some doors right now. Even though you may not respond, he's knocking on your door. And I just say, let him in. Let him in. Let him help you clean up. Because he sees you. And he knows. There's anybody here, amen, that hasn't given your life to the Lord and you need to make that commitment or recommit yourself, I invite you to come. I would love the opportunity to pray with you. Hallelujah. Get on track. Know you're on track. God is good. Hallelujah. He does not want to leave us in an unfinished condition. Hallelujah. What do I mean unfinished?